Strange title for a Good Friday morning service, a no-win situation for Christ. There is no way he could win. That's true, isn't it? That's how it looked. When they took down his body, it was finished. What do you really believe on this Good Friday morning, 2017? As far as your Christian faith is concerned. If we had gone back that long time to the original disciples and asked them on this time, all those years ago, Christ was already on the cross now for almost 2 hours, what they believed, they might have said, honestly, we don't really know. With all that happened throughout Holy Week leading up to that great celebration for the Jews, which was the Passover, which was an extremely, was a great event with great historicity and great rejoicing. They were remembering a victory, but here was Christ being crucified. By mid-morning on Good Friday, it had gone from bad to worse. The fact that some days before they were singing the praise of Jesus as he came into the city of Jerusalem, and now the crowd had asked for his death. It was for Jesus a no-win situation simply because it couldn't get any darker. Things were as black as they could be. The Gospels record a very unusual phenomenon that happened. I don't know if this has ever happened before or after, but it became dark for 3 hours, and it was midday, of course, when that started. And Mark tells us that it was the third hour when they crucified him. We know that the Jewish day started at 6 o'clock in the morning. So the third hour is 9 o'clock. So they nailed him to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Luke tells us that it was now about noon and darkness. That's what gripped me about this morning. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For 3 hours, the sun stopped shining. Now, of course, the sun didn't stop shining, but it was blocked out. It was blocked out. And at the brightest and warmest time of the day, it turned really dark. And it doesn't say this in Scripture, but I wonder if it also got really cold. You would expect it to. Some of you may remember a number of years ago, we were halfway up the M6 at the time, the eclipse of the sun. Do you remember that? And everyone had parked up. And of course, this darkness came over. And it was a lovely sunny day, and I had my T-shirt on. Why was it cold just for those few moments? And it doesn't say here, but I'm just wondering, not only was it really, really dark, but also had it really gone cold as well. But what we do know is that in that darkness, the light of the world was extinguished. There had been a glint of hope because while the religious authorities wanted Jesus dead, Pilate, who was a Roman governor and a man with great power, wanted him set free. So I think that if you have the governor for you, that's a good thing. You know, there was some light at the end of the tunnel, as far as we could put it that way. But no, even though Pilate wanted to save him, to set him free, he couldn't. Because he couldn't really keep his job and please the people at the same time, so his job came first. And even though he wanted to set him free, he didn't. And then, of course, his verdict was that he found no grounds for the death penalty. No grounds for the death penalty. Three times, in fact, King Herod said that he had done nothing worthy of death. So not only was Pilate for him, but also King Herod was also for him. And He said he hadn't done anything worthy of death. And so three times Pilate tries to set him free. Three times he cries out that he's an innocent man. And three times the crowd shout, "Crucify him." How easily a crowd can go from being for you to being against you. We really ought not to listen to crowds. It was one of humanity's darkest days. Secondly, it couldn't get more lonely. You know, we all like companionship. As a pastor, I always think it's great when we're doing something new and we have the support of the church board and the support of at least a good number of the church. You know, people are with you, people are behind you. But it couldn't get more lonely for Jesus. Have you ever been on your own? Have you ever felt really, really lonely? In the previous chapter, Luke informs us that Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples. It was in the garden, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Here comes my betrayer," and he led a group of temple guards, and he had arranged, "The one I kiss, he's the one, arrest him." So he comes up and he kisses Christ, and Jesus said in the old authorized version, remember that one? "Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" The inner circle, Peter, James, and John, had fallen asleep while Jesus wanted them to pray. And they couldn't keep awake, and Judas couldn't stay true. And so the arrest took place. And the crowds of followers had vanished. 5 days before this, there they were on the outskirts of Jerusalem, throwing their coats and garments on the ground for Jesus to go past and waving the palm branches, just as we were trying to do with the kids last Sunday. But now they were calling for his demise. And all of us are represented by the people who were there on the hours leading up to what we know as Good Friday, when the people shouted, "We don't want Barabbas released. We do want Barabbas released. We want Christ crucified. We don't want Barabbas crucified. We want Christ crucified." They represent every single one of us. All of us who have ever lived or whoever will live, our voice was in their mouths. We called for his death. All of us have done that in one way or other. The disciples had run for their lives. The thousands who had clamored to listen to his teaching and to enjoy his miracles, to witness them, and to enjoy his free food, his bread and fish. All of that crowd, all those people, they abandoned him, and he was on his own. I wonder, there are people in our world today who feel abandoned. Can you ever remember a time when you felt really on your own, you felt abandoned? You might not have been, but that's how you felt. There are people in our world today, elderly, frail, disabled, and they are abandoned, forgotten by the world. No one can say, "God, you do not know how lonely I feel." God, you do not know how lonely I feel. Excuse me, but yes, he does. Yes, he does. There was none more lonely than the day upon which Christ was crucified. What Jesus feels, God feels. And the abandonment was so complete. It was so complete. It's encapsulated in that cry from the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me? Did he mean it? I think God abandons no one. But Christ took our loneliness. He took our complete abandonment along with our sin on his physical body on the tree. He took all of that as if everything that belonged to us belonged to him. All of it in a moment of time. And by the time Jesus breathed his last, Jesus could not possibly have felt any more lonely. And the prophetic cry from the cross, which was a quote from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Confirms the words of the hymn we sung earlier. He was the only one. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And he did it alone. He did it alone. It was one of humanity's loneliest moments. There is a third thing here I think that's also just as important. He couldn't have been more victorious. Really, he couldn't. At his birth, Jesus enjoyed his father's protection as a child from the evil intent of King Herod. You remember the story how he wanted this new king who was born, he wanted him dead. And so just to make sure, he had all the children aged up to 2 years in a certain vicinity put to death, you know. But his father protected him from all of that. And while the shepherds and the magi came and they worshipped him, the only act of worship that day was a sign written in three languages above the cross, which said, here is the King of the Jews. I want to tell you, folks, when he was born, he was declared a king. And when he died, he was declared the king. He is the king. He is the victorious king. It could not have been any darker. It could not have been any lonelier for him, but he died a king. A victorious king. And his last cry was a cry of faith and hope, declaring that he had finished the work of recreating everything. Just as God had done at creation, saying it is good, Jesus cried out, it is finished. And he had finished recreating everything again. God's immortal Son had lived in light and died in darkness, but he did it victoriously. But soon the victor rose. They didn't know this at the time, of course. But soon the victor rose triumphant o'er all his foes and laid the vanquished host in chains. He threw their empire down. His foes confessed to own over all the great Messiah reigns. He was the victor. He was the king. They just didn't know it at that time. And so some walked home sad. Others walked home thinking to themselves, that'll teach him. And the soldiers could finish their day's work and take his body down. It was probably the most no-win situation anywhere in the world. Because no one who was crucified by professional Roman soldiers wins. That's right, isn't it? Nobody who's crucified by Roman soldiers wins. They're dead. They've lost. This is a bad day, isn't it? Yes? Is it a bad day? Often we want to come here gloomily. We want to come reflecting on the sadness of it all. And there is that sadness, but also there is this victory. We call this Good Friday, don't we? We call it Good Friday. And that's because Jesus won the most can't-win situation in world history. And so we gather this day to break bread and to share the cup together, to remember how and why the Lord Jesus Christ died on the darkest, loneliest cross for us. And in doing so, he won the day. That's why we have come. And we celebrate how the light of Christ after that dark day must have been greater and more glorious than ever before the cross. Jesus Christ brought total victory out of total despair for the people of faith. And we acknowledge too that this was the way it had to be, because love is stronger than hate, and light always overcomes the darkness. And from the throes of death till the throne of heaven, Jesus won the no-win situation, from certain defeat to absolute victory. This became a Good Friday. Let's give thanks. Our Father in heaven, on this day, we thank you that all our transgressions, all our sins laid upon Christ have been taken away from us. They have been bundled up and dropped into the deepest ocean. They are covered over, never to be seen again. And we thank you for this just now. We're going to come in a moment and break bread, just as Jesus did the night before he was betrayed, the night before he was arrested and scourged and put to death. But as we look back, we can do so knowing that you won the day. And this is a good day. This is a great day. And we want to thank you for that.